what's going on, everybody? It's Coop here, and welcome back to Coop's Corner Podcast. How you guys doing? It's been a while, but I'm glad I'm back. Wherever you're listening to the show, on iTunes or Podomatic, if you're watching live on YouTube, hey, it's been a while, and it's great to see you guys again. It's great for you guys to listen into the show again, because I have a fantastic show for you guys today. But before I get into any topics or the guest, what's going on with today's show, guys, is your buddy getting married, tying the knot, getting the old ball and chain? Do you want to make his last moments of freedom memorable? Well, here's your chance to let the poor slob know just how much you care. Get him a You Poor Bastard t-shirt from ypbshirts.com. Our shirts come in 5 different colors: black, green, navy, royal blue, and Canadian red. 11 designs are available, with sizes ranging from small to 3XL. All shirts are made from 100% cotton. We have a design that explains what will happen to the poor bastard's closet space after his new bride moves in. Or get him a shirt that demonstrates why he will always be wrong in his new relationship. And for the guy that hasn't learned his lesson the first time around, we have a design for repeat offenders. The shirt will become a reminder of his bachelor party without photographic evidence or anything else that could be used in a court of law. All shirts are available on Amazon.com. Amazon Prime members receive a free 2-day shipping. Free returns are available. So go to ypbshirts.com right now to view our designs and to access product links to Amazon. Shout out to YBB Shirts for sponsoring this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast, because I fucking love supporters, man. Especially all of you that are supporting this podcast. And today's supporter, slash fan, slash friend, he's a great guy. You guys are going to love this. If you guys love wrestling, please sit back, relax for the next hour, grab a beer, grab a water, grab anything else that will keep your mind occupied, because this was a fantastic episode of Coop's Corner. Now, I do have to mention, everybody, I botched in this episode, of course. Me is Botch Mania, Botch City, whatever it's called. I didn't record the video part of this first 30 minutes of this episode. The other half is recorded, and we'll put that in video. But I'll stop the episode, and I'll make sure I'll do another sponsorship commercial in between. And then after that, it will go to video. So guys, please listen to my special guest on Coop's Corner Podcast, the Duke from Duke Loves Wrestling. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest on Coop's Corner today, the Duke from Duke Loves Wrestling Podcast. How you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic, my brother Coop. Coop, how are you up there up north?
I'm doing fine, man. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for being on this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast, man.
No problem. Listen, I gotta do my thing before we really get started here. Okay, we're talking about the man of the hour, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour. Highlight of the night, special delight. The Duke is on Coop's podcast. So ladies, say all right.
All right. There's a little background noise for you.
Was that your stepmom? That your stepmom in the background there shouting out the Duke? Come on.
I know she's been listening. Yeah, I know that you've given the shout outs to her lately.
I've been giving your stepmom a shout out on social media. Talked about her a little bit on the Duke Loves Wrestling podcast. I'm sure her ears, they've gone from ringing to burning, because I'm sure she hasn't gotten this many shout outs by a young man in many years. So, you know, Coop's stepmom, I know you're listening. Hey.
little wink, and I feel a future song coming on here where, you know, Stacy's mom, except for Coop's stepmom.
That's exactly what it's going to be. Listen, Coop, I got to tell you, man, this has been a crazy day. election here. We're electing our next president of the United States.
Oh, boy.
So there have been lines out of the door, around the block, at every polling location. At the polling location that I vote at, listen to this. Had an old lady who was literally yelling about some random person. Where is he? He's supposed to bring me to work. Where is he? While we're standing in line. So I'm looking at the lady. I'm like, what is she talking about? So then finally, some guy, she's like yelling back at, you should be up here. Why are you back there? Be up here. So the guy's like, well, I can't cut the line. So I'm like, oh, okay. So this is this poor guy's mom, and she's yelling at him. She literally would not stop yelling at him for a good 5 minutes. What are you doing? And see, he doesn't ever listen to me. That's what's wrong with him. And he wants to go to Dunkin' Donuts and get coffee, but he doesn't want to stand with his mother to vote. So finally, the poor guy, I just said, come on, man, come on. So he comes up and cuts the line. So a couple of people are murmuring in the back, but I just told him, hey, do you want to listen to this lady complain all day, or do you want to just get them out of here? Come on. Yeah. These are the funny shenanigans that go on here in America when it comes to election day.
Absolutely. I mean, like, it's, I'm not sure what the lineups are like. I'm not sure how long you have to wait in line just to vote. But
well, I got there super early. So the polls open at 7 a.m. I was there by 6:30, and I didn't even get into the door until 7:15.
Oh, wow. So is this like sometimes maybe a holiday for people where they can take the day off as an excuse, or
or it does happen? Absolutely. Sometimes they'll close schools down and things of that nature.
Wow.
Depending on how big the election is as well, but this is the big one. I mean, we're talking crazy Donald Trump, who is like the Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man of American politics, going up against Hillary Clinton. Who, she's basically Roman Reigns. She's trying to shove her down our throats, but we don't really want her, but some people are cheering for her, because who else are you going to cheer for? But there are also two other people. So this is the thing that people don't understand. There are two other people in the race as well. There's a guy by the name of Gary Johnson,
mm-hmm.
who, he's the equivalent of James Ellsworth. You know, there's not really much going on here. He's kind of quirky, kind of weird, but you'll cheer him on because he looks like a lovable loser. And then you have somebody by the name of Jill Stein, who, she's like the Daniel Bryan of all this.
Hmm.
She's who we really want, but because the machine has done everything to kind of push her to the side here, you have to take what you get elsewhere, because they just don't, the machine doesn't want her, even though the people are aligned with her more than anybody else left in the race. So it's a real strange deal there.
Really? Oh, so... Yeah. So, where does this leave Rhino in all this? Because I know he's running for Congress. I think in his part, right?
Let me tell you something, and this is an exclusive here. The Duke's going to give you an exclusive. Rhino's going to win his race.
Oh, wow!
All the polls are suggesting. Now he's out there in Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
But he's going to win. He's definitely going to win his race, because they're just fed up with folks out there. It's a very depressed area. The financial downturn hit them pretty heavily, and that was mostly Democrats out there, and Rhino is running as a Republican, and he's running on a reform ticket,
mm-hmm.
as an outsider, and people are digging what he's saying, because he truly is somebody who came from the streets and who worked hard. He's Detroit through and through, and people can appreciate that out there. So I expect him to definitely win that race.
Man, like, he's come from the ECW, he's hardcore, and I've noticed that there are a lot of celebrities that want to try and put their name in politics these days. Even 4 years from now, we're going to see apparently Kanye West running for president.
Well, listen, Jesus, we trust. I mean, you know, he's a person who is very serious about what he believes in, even if what he believes in makes absolutely no sense. But, you know, he believes in it, and he's going to push hard for it, and people are going to cheer him on just because he looks passionate. So, sure, why not? If we can have Donald Trump run, we can have Bozo the Clown run, we can have Kanye West run. It doesn't really matter. Go ahead, throw them all in. More options, the better, you know?
Either way, you've mentioned this many times on your show. Is there some kind of conspiracy involving Vince McMahon rigging this election?
Well, I'll tell you, the Boston bad boy, Iron Mike Pelosi, who is my producer and co-host, he's the one who's been talking this conspiracy stuff. His theory is that Vince McMahon, who is trying to be the master of the universe, that's why he named the championship the Universal Championship, he's trying to run every aspect of the universe, including politics, our presidential election. Now, at first, I didn't believe him. But after seeing the way that these cast of characters have been acting and the promos that they're cutting, I'm starting to turn that way. I think Vince is pulling some funny business here. And Vince, I know you're listening to Coop's Corner here. Let me tell you something, pal. We're on to you. Okay? We're on to you. And there's no chance in hell we're going to allow you to keep doing this conspiracy business.
And it was even, I even read a story how Linda McMahon actually has helped, I think, fund some of Donald Trump's campaign. I think, what, $6 million or something like that? I'm not sure if it's true, but I read something in an article where Linda McMahon has actually helped supporting his campaign.
Well, you have to know, Linda McMahon, she has run for Congress at least three times in the past. All right, but let's go back even further. Donald Trump is an early investor in World Wrestling Entertainment. It used to be World Wrestling Federation. He's mm-hmm. a guy that put his money where his mouth is and helped the company out going back years ago. In fact, they've held at least two WrestleManias on Trump properties in the past.
Is that the only reason why he's in the Celebrity Hall of Fame? Is he's helped?
I mean, the guy has literally put his money and his venue up to help the company save a couple bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, them going public and what have you, he owns WWE stock. Trump is definitely not just a friend of the McMahons, but he is part of the reason why the WWE still exists.
We've had the WrestleMania with him and the McMahon and the hair match and that, so he has tried to get into the wrestling business in the past and that, but let's talk about the wrestling business now, and let's focus on you more, Duke, because I know you've run a fantastic show, and I want to hear from you more about what you like covering out there in the wrestling world.
Well, that's a great question there, and let me just remind everyone, Trump is actually in the WWE Hall of Fame, which is really just the oddest thing when you think about it. A guy who could potentially become the President of the United States is also a WWE Hall of Famer. And his name is not Jesse the Body Ventura, which is, we all thought he was going to be it. Mm-hmm. But on the Duke Loves Wrestling podcast, we cover a myriad of wrestling topics, everything from Middle Kingdom wrestling in China to the independent scene like Texas Wrestling Entertainment, all the way to what's going on at WWE. We try to keep it loose, but we try to keep it informative at the same time. And we interview various wrestlers at different stages in the wrestling business. Everything from Sugar and Spice, who are going to debut soon. They haven't even had their first match yet. But they were training at the Texas Wrestling Academy. Going all the way up to Steve Duatua-Cox, who literally at one point he was on TV pretty much every week on ESPN doing his thing there. So, we try to mix it up there with a different spin on the pro wrestling podcast.
Yeah, and you've mentioned a big name on your show many times, the lady that goes by Mephisto. And she's I think she won her recent match, right?
Let me tell you something. Mephisto has a huge event coming up on November 18th and 19th. It's called WrestleStar 3 at the Pattaya World Boxing Stadium in Thailand. She's going to be in a mixed tag match with Ram Mir, and they're taking on Tyra and some other bum whose name I won't even mention. Mephisto, she'll fight her opponents, she'll scratch their eyes out, she'll do whatever it takes to bring pain and destruction to them. She's a pretty tough customer there.
Well, there goes the tag team between Mephisto and my stepmother.
Oh, yes. Well, I know that your stepmother is almost as tough as Mephisto, but I think Mephisto may have her beat there. you gotta watch her. Listen, speaking of your stepmother, you gotta tell me the truth here, Coop.
Yep.
When she body slams you at the last holiday party there, you didn't sell it. You tried to keep a good face on there, but tell me the truth. Did it hurt?
It did. It did. Okay. It always hurts. It emotionally hurts me. You know what I mean?
That's it.
It
heard it live here, folks. That's it. He admitted his stepmother hurt him. That's it.
Oh, well, I get hurt pretty easily. If it's from physically or emotionally, you know. I'm very sensitive for a big 6'3" giant. We'll put it that way. I'm just...
Wow, 6'3". They grow you guys big up in Canada, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but we're... We're just as soft as a teddy bear, you know what I mean? Just
speaking of Canada, I gotta level with you here. So I've been talking to my buddy David, who I call Little Bro, and talking to my friend April, and I let them know, and I'm letting you know as well, if this election here in America goes the wrong way, I'm coming up to the Great White North. I'm gonna have to do so tonight just to make sure I get over the border, because I know you guys are gonna be building that wall on the border to keep the Americans out. So if I show up at your doorstep, okay, I just want to know that I got a warm place to live and get a hot meal there.
Oh, absolutely. We've got the shed that's out back there. You know, it's much bigger than Bubbles' shed from Trailer Park Boys. So
listen, that's not very hospitable there, Coop. I don't know if I agree with that at all. Hey, come on.
Hey, it's got electricity in there, so you know it's pretty comfy. It's just you know, there's no laboratory, so you have to make your own out there. And but you know, we'll let you in like once every few hours, something like that, to go to the washroom or something like that.
Coop's Corner listeners, if you would like Duke Loves Wrestling to help make Canada great again, okay, I want you to hashtag make Canada great again. Duke, okay? Do that, please. So Coop can understand that we're in high demand here, okay?
I'm sure there will be a lot more Americans that will be coming down here for health coverage as well.
Okay, we're going to need it all, man.
Well, we're pretty friendly, so everybody's more than welcome to, as long as they don't start more trouble.
That's right.
Yeah, because we don't need more trouble in this Canada. We already have enough trouble going on down here.
Hey, what's this story I'm hearing about Fifi Dobson and Alanis Morissette allegedly having some words with each other concerning who is dating you, Coop? So these two Canadian icons here, these ladies. Who are you know, great singers. They've sold a lot of records all over the world and what have you. They seem to have some kind of issue with each other, and instead of fighting over Michael Bolton or somebody like that, they're fighting over Coop, allegedly. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know. It's very rare to find a very, very, very nice guy these days, so maybe it's just the competition is getting more strict for me these days. I'm not really used to women fighting over me. It's usually guys that are trying to fight over girls these days, but you know, maybe with the kindness, like a dying breed these days, you know, maybe the competition is getting more stiff out there for them. But
year of the nice guy, that's what's going on right now up in Canada. The year of the nice guy.
Oh, I just, you know, I'll just smile and blush, and maybe that's what gets their attention. Is maybe it's. So speaking of which, I know that you have a bodyguard down there, don't you? That whenever you go to your wrestling shows, and she takes care of you whenever you're in the stands and makes sure there's no trouble that happenings. Is that correct?
Well, listen, you know, the Duke is a hot commodity, man. So I gotta make sure that my bodyguard is there to, you know, keep the crazy fans from getting too rambunctious, especially at the wrestling events. Now, people don't see it coming, too, because you're talking about a lady, and she looks all sweet and what have you, but watch out, man. She starts doing her karate thing, and it's all over. That's right.
Absolutely. The women in this day and age are just... I'm so glad that they're finally getting recognized, especially in wrestling, man. It's just, yes. With women's wrestling, it's taken over everything. They're main eventing pay-per-views now, which you went to go see at Hell in a Cell between Charlotte and Sasha Banks. What was that like, the atmosphere there?
It was awesome. I mean, let me tell you, so first of all, the WWE, which, you know, as we know, was once the WWF, and even going further back, the WWWF, they actually got their start in Massachusetts. They were promoting shows here in the state of Massachusetts initially, and Boston was absolutely a city that they could count on for fans to come out, spend their hard-earned money, and see a wrestling show. So the WWE, even up to this day, they have a very strong connection with my city, and they're here often. Sasha Banks, she trained here to learn how to become a professional wrestler. A lot of folks don't realize this. She's actually from California initially.
Okay.
So she went all the way across the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and trained in Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. And because of that, she grew to love the area, and she, to this day, she still calls Boston home. So when she came out at Hell in a Cell, the crowd went banana! Banana! As Pat Patterson, a great Canadian, would say. Charlotte got all the boos in the world. She's doing great heel work. I mean, hey, she's Ric Flair's daughter. She should be doing something. She's the best.
Absolutely.
But when Sasha Banks came out, the roof blew off in that place. I mean, everybody was just so happy to see her and so proud of how far she's come. So it was a great experience. And that match really is one of the more memorable Hell in a Cell matches in history, just because of how physical, how amazing those women were in that match. They wrestled for over 35 minutes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. But what is it, like 10 minutes in the match they weren't even wrestling? They were trying to put Sasha on a stretcher, right?
Yes. Beginning of the match, they went classic with the heel beats up on the baby face before the bell rings, before the match even officially begins. And, you know, they try to pull the baby face out, Sasha Banks, because she couldn't continue. And then she manages to muster up the courage. She throws everybody out of the way. She runs into the cage. She demands the ref, ring the bell, ref! And then the match starts, and then they beat the heck out of each other. That's right. That's what happened. Just classic pro wrestling, man. The stuff that, you know, when we were kids growing up, we would see these things where it evokes emotion out of the fans. It makes you care. And, you know, my bodyguard was saying to me, well, this is terrible. Sasha, she can't compete in the match. What's going to happen? I said, nope, wait. Watch this. She's going to get off that stretcher. No way. She's not going to get off the stretcher. Short. I said, when she gets off that stretcher, you listen to the pop that the fans are going to give. You listen to how crazy the crowd is going to go. Sure enough, as soon as she got off that stretcher, the place went crazy, man. It was beautiful. I had tears in my eyes. I was so excited about it.
She pulled the Daniel Bryan from WrestleMania, right?
Well, even going further back, I mean, throughout history, this is the sort of thing that you would see. Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, all the way back, man. The baby face who's down and out musters up the strength to continue and find a way. You know, that's classic wrestling. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just give us what we love, you know.
Guys, is your buddy getting married? Tying the knot? Getting the old ball and chain? Do you want to make his last moments of freedom memorable? Well, here's your chance to let the poor slob know just how much you care. Get him a You Poor Bastard t-shirt from ypbshirts.com. Our shirts come in 5 different colors: black, green, navy, royal blue, and red. 11 designs available, with sizes ranging from small to 3XL. All shirts are made from 100% cotton. We have a design that explains what will happen to the poor bastard's closet space after his new bride moves in. Or get him a shirt that demonstrates why he will always be wrong in his new relationship. And for the guy who didn't learn his lesson the first time around, we have a design for repeat offenders. The shirt will become a reminder of his bachelor party without photographic evidence or anything else that could be used in a court of law. All shirts are available on Amazon.com. Amazon Prime members receive a free 2-day shipping. Free returns are available. Go to ypbshirts.com right now to view our designs and to access product links to Amazon. Doesn't your buddy deserve the best? Or, in this case, the worst? Go to ypbshirts.com right now and purchase a shirt for the poor bastard. The women that are going to be coming up from NXT, there's one girl that everybody wants to keep an eye on, and that would be Asuka. When do you think she's going to lose that NXT title, and to whom? And will she be the baddest girl in women's wrestling right now?
It's a great question that you're asking, and it's a tough question to answer because keep in mind, we just have the Cruiserweight Classic.
Right.
The men's tournament in NXT, they had, I believe it was 32 of the top stars from all over the world, Cruiserweights. They're about to do something very similar with women. So currently, they're calling in Slice Wrestling. Check him out at NSlice on Twitter. He broke this news on the Duke Loves Wrestling podcast. They're going to be bringing women from all over the world to compete in this tournament. So they're about to infuse the company with at least 32 of the top female wrestlers in the world.
That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. So literally anybody and everybody is going to be a contender for that NXT championship. With all of that said, there are two people in particular that I'm keeping an eye on as far as relieving Asuka of her title. First person who I think is going to do it is Ember Moon. I just think she's unbelievable. For my money, she's a top 10 female wrestler in the world. A lot of folks don't realize that she was called Athena. She was called Athena, the wrestling goddess, on the independent scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. She's wrestled everywhere, including Canada. Changed her name to Ember Moon, and she has this new gimmick. But her finisher is devastating. It's a jumping Stone Cold Stunner from the top rope.
It's fantastic to watch that.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an amazing move.
Just as amazing as her eyes. Her eyes are just as scary as her finisher are.
Absolutely. So I would say that she's at the top of my list. The second person would be Billie Kay. Billie Kay is tall, imposing, powerful. She actually has a lot of experience on the independent scene. She's wrestled all the top women wrestlers. She's somebody who I would not be surprised if the company invests in her a little bit more, puts the title on her to see what she can do. But, you know, some wrestlers will make a championship. You know, when you put the title on them, then the championship begins to matter more,
mm-hmm.
which I think Asuka has done with the women's title. Other wrestlers, the title makes them. And I think whoever gets the title after Asuka, that title is going to make that person. It's going to make them more legitimate. So I expect that to happen before the year's over, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and just with Billie Kay, with her style that she has, I'm actually really happy that she has her friend, Peyton Royce, I believe that's her name.
Oh, man, she's amazing. The Venus Flytrap. Yes.
Yeah, I think those two as the Australian duo, I think they'll do pretty good on the scene together because I think Billie Kay just needed somebody to, you know, help her get that edge over with the fans, you know, and help her, you know, she could do pretty good by herself, but it's always good to have somebody else there by your side and in your corner.
Absolutely. It helps you get over, especially when, you know what it does, when you have multiple people on one side. You can take another wrestler who you're trying to get over, and they have to go through certain people to get to the leader of whatever group.
Mm-hmm. I think
so. It just makes sense, you know.
I think that was the issue with Liv Morgan, because because she just wanted to go straight to the champion, and boy, did she fall pretty fast.
You know, when you bring up Liv Morgan, which I'm glad you did, she has an amazing real name. Her real name is Gianna Daddio.
Gianna Daddio.
Daddio. Which, you know, that's like from the 50s and 60s when they would say, hey, Daddio. You know, it's just this really cool name. And they give her Liv Morgan, which I don't understand. Like, why would you change such mouthful name, Daddy-O. That's perfect. You don't need to mess with that. So it's. but I like her. She's tiny though. She's no Alexa Bliss, which Bliss is tiny yet fierce.
Yeah.
Liv is coming along.
I remember Alexa Bliss. You know, as she used to be all the. The entrance music. She always used to be happy and everything. She used to have the sparkle splash, but now she's just she needed to turn heel with Blake and Murphy, and boy, did it work well for her.
You know, for my money, Alexa Bliss is absolutely one of the top women on the roster, main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that goes for SmackDown and Raw. She has all of the tools. She cuts a great promo. She is fantastic in the ring. In fact, I haven't really seen her botch much at all since she's been on the main roster.
No.
And her facials are fantastic, where she just looks you up and down and just looks so disgusted by the fans and her opponents and everybody. She's just fantastic. I really enjoy her whole presentation.
Because she knows she can get away with it. She's just...
That's it.
that personality of hers just fits her perfectly. And her costume designs...
What's great about her? She works big. She is a very, very small young lady, even compared to the other women on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
She's very tiny, both in height and also in weight. Yet, when you watch her work, man, she really makes you believe that she's just as big as whoever she's in that ring with. Which I think that... She's probably the most underrated person, male or female, in the WWE. And I expect her, surprisingly, she's going to leapfrog a lot of people, and she's going to be a champion, and she's going to make a lot of money doing it. Because, once again, her presentation is just fantastic.
Absolutely. And, okay, so is there anything else that, is there anything that you wanted to bring up to me on my podcast? Because this is the time where I allow you, you know, to be the captain. Because I know you, like, you're very detailed in what you say and your thoughts. Is there anything that you wanted to get off your chest on what your thoughts are going on with the wrestling industry?
Well, you know, I'm glad you bring that up. I really do. And we were just talking about women wrestlers. I got to talk about something that really grinds my gears. And that's the Pro Wrestling Illustrated staff and their list that they've put out within the past 12 months.
Not the list of Jericho.
Well, let's go with the Pro Wrestling Illustrated PWI 500. All right? Which they rank the 500 top male wrestlers in the world. Now listen, Coop. I've been subscribing to PWI going all the way back to when Bill Apter still owned the joint and he was writing for them and what have you. I loved the PWI 500 because I got to learn about wrestlers that I'd never heard about
mm-hmm.
from all over the world. And then I would go and find tapes and watch their matches. And then every year I would track their progress. It was great for a wrestling nerd like myself to pay attention to. Well, this past year, they made that punk, Roman Reigns, number one.
What? Okay? Are you kidding me?
Roman Reigns, because I know you're listening. You're a punk. I don't like you. Get out of this business. Get out of my life.
Okay? Oh my goodness. Oh, I mixed up goodness and godness in there. That's how blown away I am by that. That's unbelievable.
I'm sick of him. Ugh. I'm sick of Roman Reigns. I'm sick of the way that they push this guy. He is the complete, just the worst. Okay? Mind you. I'm sure the guy Joe NOIE or whatever his name is, I'm sure he's a nice guy. So don't get me wrong about the person. I'm talking about the character here. Let's keep it kayfabe, folks. Don't send me nonsense at Duke Loves Wrestling on Twitter. Don't send me nonsense. I'm talking about the wrestler. I'm not talking about the guy. This isn't personal. Okay? But that Roman Reigns, he's the worst. I just can't stand this guy. I can't stand him. Okay? So we can start there. Now, the PWI Top 50, which is the 50 best female workers, supposedly, in the world. Let me tell you something. They had the audacity. First of all, they put Charlotte number one, and they put Sasha Banks number two, which I completely agree with, by the way. I would say right now, Charlotte is working better than everybody overall. She just her work is just fantastic.
Absolutely.
I think Sasha is right there with her, too, in a lot of ways. notch above within the past year, mainly because Sasha's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I got no bones with that. But let me tell you what they did, Coop, which really grinds my gears. They made Sienna number 10.
Sienna?
Sienna from TNA.
Yeah.
And she wrestles as Allison Kay, a.k.a. AK-47, a.k.a. Pinkies Up. She wrestles as Allison Kay on the independent scene.
Hmm.
She is one of the top five wrestlers in the world.
Really?
Okay.
Over Gail Kim?
They made her, of all people, number 10.
Over, is she over Gail Kim, or is she... Oh.
I would absolutely... She's beaten Gail Kim, first of all.
Right.
So let's start there. I would absolutely put her above Gail Kim. She... Gail who?
The newest TNA Hall of Famer, which if something happens to TNA, I'm not sure if that will exist or not. But
yeah, and I mean, Gail Kim, with all due respect, I do appreciate Gail Kim. She's the female Rey Mysterio Jr. I've always said that. I always respect, please, Gail, don't beat me up. I was just, you know, messing with you. Although I do feel that Sienna, a.k.a. Allison Kay, there is no reason why she shouldn't have been at the very least number 5
mm-hmm.
on that PWI top 50. So, you know, they really make themselves look ridiculous and embarrass themselves when they put a list like that out and they're not ranking it properly. Now here's the other thing, and this is even worse, okay? Lo Shirai from Japan, she's not even on the list.
Oh, really?
She's not even on the list, Coop. They didn't even put her on the list.
Ugh.
And she is at least in the top 5. She's probably number 4 top women wrestlers in the world. And then Kairi Hojo, she's got to be number 3. I mean, you're talking about these women from Japan who are doing some of the most amazing stuff that you'll ever see, and hopefully we'll see them in the women's tournament with NXT. How in the world can you not even have them on the top 50? PWI literally didn't even look around the world. They just went with American promotions, and that's it.
Oh, jeez. They gotta have more scouts out there, maybe. But cause...
It's the most disgraceful thing I've ever seen in my life, and I let them know, but I fired up on them on Twitter, and I let these jerks know. Listen, okay? This is not how you conduct business here. You don't have the audacity disrespect these female wrestlers who put it all on the line, okay?
Right.
From all over the world. You honor them by paying attention, and you give us a proper ranking instead of fooling people into believing that the top 50 women wrestlers in the world only wrestle in America. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I got to let you, like, take over my podcast Twitter account so you'll have the 14.3 followers actually hear your voice, and you can actually borrow my account, and then maybe they'll all back you up with that one.
Well, listen, man, we could put out a poll. I guarantee you, people will agree with me on this one. It's just an embarrassment. Those three, first of all, the ranking and then the omission. I don't know what Pro Wrestling Illustrated is doing, but whoever's over there, I want them removed immediately. Okay, I can't stand it. Hey, you're done. Okay, you're done. Put Coop in there. Coop will give you a proper rating.
I'm pretty sure you would do a much better job ranking them than I would. Like the woman that you just said, I've never actually heard of. So that's what I mean, right? But I think I read about them in a news article how WWE has been trying to get them into WWE, I think.
Let me tell you something. You want to see some of the best work. I mean, first of all, elbow drop? Are you kidding me? I'm going to send you some videos that you can tweet out so all of your listeners can see some of this stuff. I mean, come on, man. We're talking some of the best wrestling you'll ever see, male or female, and you don't even rank these women at all?
I gotta get more on my wrestling game here, because whenever I go to news articles, I go to you, listen to you guys, I go to WrestleZone.com. I tried listening to Wrestling Inc., but they do a show on YouTube here. But to me, they're too negative of what they say. So I prefer much WrestleZone is where I stick to my news articles. And then I listen to you every week for your thoughts on wrestling and that. So, what about
you know, you asked a good question before you asked me the next one. You said about being too negative. I think that's where a lot of folks get it wrong with pro wrestling podcasts today.
Mm.
There has to be balance.
Right.
Okay. So it's okay to give your opinion on the product, especially if there's just something that's just ridiculous that you don't believe in. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're watching wrestling and you can't find anything to talk positively about and you just want to bury all day long, I think that says a lot about you as a person.
Yeah.
It may not be the product, it may be you. Because, come on.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling at the end of the day, man. Come on.
I stopped listening to Wrestling Inc. when they were giving their thoughts on the new Uso and the look that they're doing and the new music that they came out, which I think that I really like in what they've done with the Usos.
It's awesome.
But
it's awesome.
This guy, Raj, I think, said that he didn't like it because it made them look too thuggish.
Whatever that means.
It's just, as soon as I heard that comment from him, I was just like, you know, why would you mention that? There's no, like, what's wrong with them having to change in what they do? And
well, not only that, Raj should pick up a dictionary because, first of all, and he should pick up a wrestling dictionary while he's at it, or encyclopedia, I should say. The whole point of being a heel is to be a thug. You want to be someone that people look at and fear, are concerned about,
mm-hmm.
who is nasty and will do anything. Rip your face off if they have to in order to win.
Yeah,
that is, you know, you're steering into the definition of a thug, a person that you're not supposed to like, a person that you're supposed to be afraid of, a person that is going to do nasty, rule breaking, law breaking things. Yeah, that's what a heel is supposed to do. So if Raj has a problem with that, then maybe he's watching the wrong product.
Yeah, well, I just, that's as soon as I heard that comment, that's where I just had to push the stop button on it and just haven't looked back at Wrestling Inc. ever since then.
Yeah,
but I know that you we're cutting short on time for you because I know you have to go back to, you know, the election day is a big day for you. So we've got about 10 minutes. Is there anything else that you want to get off your chest here? Is there anything else that you want to mention? Because I know you mentioned the list. It's definitely not better than the list of Jericho. We'll put it that way.
No, definitely not.
Is there anything else that has been that you've been wanting to say about the anything that's going on in wrestling right now on my podcast?
Yeah, you know, I do want to bring up a couple of quick things here. Number one, Apollo Crews.
Yes.
He was UR Nation on the independent scene. Here's a guy who is as talented as anybody. The problem that I have with him, and I'm sure you're listening, Apollo, so please. The problem that I have with you is that you spend so much time smiling up the place. He's a big smile. Yeah, the guy has teeth that you wouldn't believe with a big smile.
Oh, no. This sounds like me all of a sudden. That's right.
When he is in trouble in a match, he is not selling the fact that somebody just hurt his leg or hurt his arm. He might do it for a few seconds and then it's over. He's not giving the fans an opportunity to be emotionally invested in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, he's actually taken a step back. The company's actually not using him on television as much as they did, but as much as they wanted to initially. This guy has to take a look at what Sasha Banks did during that Hell in a Cell match with Charlotte, where she grabbed us emotionally. She brought us in. You know, she was down and out. She was beat up. She was on that stretcher, and then she managed to crawl her way back in that ring and put on a match and what have you. It's like, dude, give us something to care about, because fine, you're a baby face. It's going to be very difficult for you to ever be a bad guy because you got that great smile. Great-looking guy, whatever. But if you're going to be a babyface, then you need to take a butt whoop.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, study Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express, a guy that Ric Flair traveled all over the world beating the hell out of, and people loved it because Ricky Morton, you felt bad for him, like you were going to cry because you were afraid that he was going to be permanently injured and he would find a way to fight back in the end. Or Ricky Steamboat, the same thing. He's a classic wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only thing he gets mad at is when somebody, like, calls him the wrong name. So
yeah, which even that is just, it's still not even enough. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
So there's that there that I have a problem with that grinds my gears. The other thing that bothers me significantly is that the women haven't been getting enough of the fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
For my money, you can feature more women's matches on both shows, and it'll work.
They're about getting two matches, I think, an evening for the women's for each woman's show now, right?
Yeah, which is not enough as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there are more women on the roster, so give them more run and give them longer matches and give them more layered storylines. I mean, please, by God.
I mean, even this week they had a 3-on-3 match at Raw. And this was the first time we've seen Nia Jax in action in a long time, ever since she did her squash matches. But there is one woman that bothers me from watching yesterday, and that's Dana Brooke. I think she's going to hurt somebody in this ring. I really do.
Yeah, she's pretty stiff and not protecting people as much as she could. But I'll say this, though. Dana has come a long way. She was really rough in the beginning. So,
well, just
come a long way, but I agree. She still needs to protect her fellow wrestlers in that ring.
Well, especially Bayley. She's almost hurt her on multiple occasions, in my opinion. Like even in a 3-on-3 match yesterday, when Bayley went into that corner. I'm not sure if that was supposed to happen or not, but just to me, I think Dana is gonna hurt somebody in there.
Well, you brought her up, so now I got to talk about it. Since you brought up, first of all, I don't disagree with what you're saying there. I agree completely. Dana's got to protect her fellow wrestlers. But since you brought up Bayley, you got to learn how to cut a promo. it is completely unacceptable. She was on that Raw after show, and they asked her to cut a promo about Charlotte, and she couldn't do it. Like, she just completely embarrassed herself. You got to learn how to cut a promo, okay? Because you're at this point now where you're on the main roster. You've been in the company for a while through NXT. You've wrestled the best women's wrestlers around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you haven't been around people. It's not like you don't have access to Ric Flair, who's the greatest promo ever. It's not like you don't have access to people who can teach you. You learned from Dusty Rhodes, who was one of the greatest promos ever, too.
Yeah.
There is no reason why you shouldn't be able to cut a promo instantly. Somebody says, go. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And a promo is very basic. If you don't want to go too deep into something technical, just keep it simple. Who is your opponent? Why do you have a conflict? What are you going to do to them? And where is it going to go down? Okay? So let me tell you something, Coop's mom. After the way you treated Coop over holiday, I'm sick and tired of it. So come next Sunday at the Hartford Civic Center, it's going to be you and I. I'm going to defend Coop's honor, and you're going down. I mean, come on. That's not the best promo in the world, but it gets the job done.
It
so
does.
Like, come on, Bayley. You got a damn promo that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
That's fantastic, man.
They asked the woman, what are you going to do to Charlotte? You know what she says? Well, I'm not as strong as Charlotte. I'm not as talented as Sasha Banks. I'm not as athletic as Charlotte is. So then finally Lita was like, so then what makes you think you're going to win?
Like, she's putting guilt on herself.
At no point did she say she was going to be the next champion. She just talked a bunch of garbage. And it's like, lady, if that's the best you're going to do, then I don't know. Because let me tell you something. Alexa Bliss, when she talks about Becky Lynch and what she's going to do to Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, she's ready, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And for Bayley, who is over with the fans because of her work, she's still living off her work from NXT, which I think was a little inflated. The only time she had a great match is when she was in the ring with great wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, yep. Sasha Banks, and Asuka.
That's right.
Think about that.
Well, she most of the matches I saw in Bayley before she got over with the fans is, before her hand injury. She had triple threats with them. I'm not sure. She wrestled with Becky Lynch, I think, but that was when Becky Lynch really wasn't getting recognized as much as well, too. So all four of those, I think the four women's horsemen.
Exactly. But it's like Bailey, she has too much experience at this point to be not able to cut a decent promo on the spot. And it's like, you know what? That's not right. And I'm sorry, man. I know some wrestlers are going to say, well, what do you know? You've never stepped in the ring. And you're absolutely right. But you know what? I've worked in sales for years. I've worked in politics for years. I have to do a lot of public speaking. I have a podcast where I do a lot of talking. You should be able, on the spot, to talk about what you know instantly. Like, it shouldn't even be anything. It should be second nature, man. It shouldn't be any problems. And the fact that she churned out that type of performance, it's like, well, now I don't believe in you anymore.
It's just put so much guilt on yourself, just no confidence, right? So
That's it. So, well, you know, I had to bring that up. My last point, I'll end it with this on my last wrestling topic here. The WWE needs to stop trying to outsmart itself. They got to take a step back, because at the end of the day, this is pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do I mean by that? The lead up to Hell in the Cell, you have Sasha Banks and Charlotte. This is the go-home Monday Night Raw before the pay-per-view.
Right.
They announced that they're going to put these two women in the ring, and they're going to have a face-off before the pay-per-view. Okay. They put Mick Foley in the ring with them, and Foley cuts this ridiculous promo, and he's shaking, and he's screaming, and he's carrying on talking about how dangerous Hell in the Cell is and all this other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, folks. First and foremost, there were three Hell in the Cell matches that night.
That was a bit much. That was a bit much.
Well, but even beyond that, though, if there are three matches, a total of six competitors, not counting Chris Jericho, because he technically wasn't in a match, there were four men involved in a Hell in the Cell match, and then the two women. Why was Mick Foley only giving the speech about how dangerous Hell in the Cell is to the women? Why didn't he give it to the men as well? Why didn't he give it to all of them?
That's right. He should have...
You're sending a subtle message that you feel that the women aren't on par with the men. So you got to warn them about how dangerous this is. These women are doing better matches than most of those guys. Give me a break. Okay? I'll watch Sasha Banks and Charlotte before I watch anything Roman Reigns is doing any day of the week twice on Sunday. All right? So that's number one, Jack. Number two, you don't need anybody else in the ring with those two women. It's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So let's break it down to its simplest form. A cage match is the most dangerous thing going. You put people in a cage because they hate each other, and they have to settle a conflict once and for all. And it's like a cage. No one can get out, so then you just beat the hell out of each other until there's one winner. That's the basic concept of a cage match.
Yeah.
So, all you got to do is have the two women try to tear each other apart, and you bring everybody out to separate them because they hate each other so much. And it's like, man, this is emotion right here. These women, we can't contain them, and that's why on Sunday they're going to be in a cage match so they can just settle the score once and for all. And a Hell in the Cell, the ultimate cage match. Wow, that's all you had to do.
Yep.
You got Mick Foley in there screaming and shaking himself up and looking ridiculous while Charlotte looks like she could care less, and Sasha Banks just looked a little confused. And it's like, that didn't sell the pay-per-view, man.
Mm-hmm.
And the women weren't even trying to hit each other. It's like, well, if I'm going to be in a cage match with you and I want to beat you and all this other stuff, then why, when you're standing across from me with just a stupid table in the way, why aren't I trying to rip your face off?
I do think that the most intimidating thing out there is the Elimination Chamber. I'm not sure if they're bringing that back or not, but
that's a tough match
because you not only are surrounded by steel and cage and you're surrounded by pods, pieces of glass too, right? So yep. if you put them in that, I think that would be just as dangerous as just, you know, what they had at Hell in a Cell or any cage match.
But to sell a match like that, you don't have to overthink it. Keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Two people, we can't keep them apart. They keep trying to hurt each other, so let's just put them in one spot where they can't get away from each other. They just have to fight to the end. That's it.
That's right.
That's all you need.
Absolutely. All right, Duke. Well, I think that's all that we have for today, and we would love to bring you back on next time. Whenever next time you want to come back on, you're more than given. If you want to mention anything on my podcast, please come back and talk for another hour, because I know you're going to be a busy day today, right?
Yes, sir. I'll come back and I'll update you on how it goes after this election and what that means for us here in Great America. Like I said, I may be up north with you guys.
I'll make sure I'll get the beers ready.
So Jerome McGinley, who was my favorite hockey player of all time, and listen, I'm in Boston, so imagine that. Jerome McGinley is my favorite player, even though I'm in Bruins country. You tell Jerome McGinley that he's the man, and that when I come up to move to Canada because things are going too crazy down here in the States, I expect him to be hanging out and teaching me how to do hockey, because I'm terrible.
We'll just place you in the net. We'll start you off as a goalie first, so we can take free shots on you.
I got a story about that, about being on a frozen lake up north and getting beat up by a 10-year-old. I'll tell you that next time. Folks, you can catch me at Duke Loves Wrestling. You can catch me on Twitter, on Facebook, YouTube. We got all of our past episodes on there, so please hit that subscribe button, iTunes, the whole nine yards. Hit the subscribe button. Let me know what you think of the show. Coop is a friend. He's a great guy. We had him on the show 2 weeks ago, and he did a great job telling jokes and running the ropes. So, hey, please, Duke Loves Wrestling. Check me out.
Absolutely, and we'll bring you on next time. Not just wrestling, but there's tons of stuff we can get into. Like, we were supposed to even bring up food on this one, and we didn't even have time for that.
Yes, we'll talk food next time. Definitely, we'll talk food.
All right, well, thank you very much, Duke, and have a great day.
Hey, thank you, Coop. Take care, buddy.